Election officials tease out scenarios after a District 87 school board candidate exits the race over offensive social media posts.
Those things do not represent what our values and our mission are.
At Superintendent Barry Riley, I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Tuesday, March 16th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with what happens next, now that a District 87 school board candidate has suspended his campaign. John Reed called it off Friday after coming under criticism for posting racist and misogynist content on social media. He's one of five candidates seeking four seats on the board. But because the ballot has already been certified, election officials say Reed's name will remain on the ballot regardless. Early voting is already underway. A few scenarios are possible. Reed could file paperwork to formally withdraw. That would essentially negate any votes for him, but he hasn't done that as of yesterday. Reed could also win one of the four seats. If he does win and then resigns, the other school board members would appoint someone to fill the rest of that four-year term. Here's Bloomington Election Commission Executive Director Tim Mitchell.
It's up to the candidate, what his position is regarding what would happen if he were to receive enough votes to be elected. That's up to him.
Still unclear is how Reed's exit from the race affects fellow District 87 candidate Fitzgerald Samdi, who's been a Republican precinct committeeman. Their names appeared on shared yard signs that asked voters to, quote, elect two good men. Samdi did not return requests for comment from WGLT. The other three candidates in the race are incumbents Bridget Beasley Gibson, Chuck Irwin, and Elizabeth Fox Anvik. Superintendent Barry Riley says District 87 is one of the most diverse districts in the state and proud of it. As for Reed's posts,
those things do not represent what our values and our mission are. And for a candidate to get elected who doesn't reflect that, that would be very disappointing. And I'm a taxpayer in District 87, just like everybody else who lives in our district, and I would prefer to see school board members who are there for the benefit of kids and staff and moving our school district forward in a way that reflects our mission and values.
Last day to vote is April 6th. Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. The McLean County Health Department says it'll begin scheduling COVID vaccinations for the expanded Phase 1B plus population. That move comes weeks earlier than expected, as vaccine supplies have increased across the county. Prosecutors say in a new motion that former Bloomington doctor Sean Kink had a history of sexual misconduct before his arrest in 2020 on sexual assault charges involving a female patient. And the Bloomington City Council could vote on an estimated $11.5 million proposal for the O'Neill Pool and Park Project as early as March 22nd. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Change is on the way for police departments around Illinois. Racial bias and gender equity are few of the topics now required in training under the Criminal Justice Reform Bill now signed into law. Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason spent 25 years as a law enforcement officer. He now serves as a member of the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. He says discussions on how to implement the required changes are in their early stages. Christine Atfield spoke with Gleason about what the future of police training might look like.
Well, I've had a front row seat to this discussion that truly started, I'm going to say, August of 2014 with the events in Ferguson, Missouri. What Governor Pritzker signed into law is going to have an impact. There are many positives in this police reform, but there is going to be a cost to the local government. This is going to add two, if not three, additional weeks to any basic academy. Well, there's a cost there. And then some of the training that is going to, the ongoing training that you'll see at the MTUs, the mobile training units. And so there's going to be an additional cost here, there as well. And that's going to be borne, by the local governments, by the local communities. We haven't quite figured out what that cost is going to be.
What long-term changes are we looking at with this bill?
I think, we're the first in the nation to do this. You know, I think that there is a lot of concern out there from the men and women that, you know, provide the 24/7 safety to us and our communities. And I think once the dust settles, we're going to find that this is something that is welcome and can definitely be a benefit to the communities. So that's an initial thought, you know, that I've got is recruiting, you know, for my police department and then the retention of my officers. And I know that a lot of different communities throughout the state are hearing that as well.
What are things looking like on the funding front with regard to these changes, especially bearing in mind the discussions continually going on about police funding reform?
We're getting ready to finalize our budget. We proposed the fiscal year 22 budget. We're on a May 1 to April 30th budget cycle. And some questions rose concerning how do we fund the police, you know, these different line items. And I welcome this, and I look forward to the day that I can put together at least the portions that I'm responsible for this larger discussion that I heard out of my elected officials. And the question is, how do we police? You know, which is different than, you know, what about this line item, you know, this $250,000 line item in this new budget, city manager, that you're proposing. If you hear these discussions throughout the nation, at least what I'm picking up on are communities saying, we want to have a say in how we're being policed. And I think it's very interesting, and I completely welcome that conversation.
How are these training reforms going to affect the way area law enforcement goes about its job?
I think it'll improve, but it's time. So even, you know, I talked about the 2 or 3 additional weeks for a basic academy. I think it's 16 weeks now. So you're going to be pushing 20 weeks waiting for that new recruit that you probably hired after you had a vacancy that was in place for quite some time. So, I mean, you're already, you know, pushed back, but again, right thing to do. Now, the in-service training, you've got officers, you're already understaffed. You've got officers that have responsibilities out on the street, the different duties that they provide the community. Now you're adding additional in-service training. So, I mean, it's all going to add up to time, and time oftentimes equals funding, or in this case, increased funding needs. But at the end of the day, you got to find a way. And we will.
That's Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason speaking with Christine Hatfield. Before we let you go, the Bloomington Public Library Board meets tonight at 5:30. On the agenda there is library expansion and fundraising for it. That is it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at cira.com.